Oh, praise the Lord. Look at all the pretty faces out here tonight. Amen. Well, I don't know what you came for tonight, but you'll get whatever God wants to give you, right? And my mom, I'm always praying and believing that God's going to meet every desire of your heart and take you to a place you've never been before. So, because, you know, God doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to grow. And this morning we found out He wants us to move forward. And tonight God's going to talk to us about our destinies. And I'm hoping and praying that you'll listen to what God has to say. And then let's just keep moving forward. I don't know about you, but I want to see the miracles. I want to see this million soul revival that God is talking about. Yeah, I don't still want to read about it. I want to actually see it with my own two eyes. And there's only one way that's going to happen, and that's if we grow up in Christ and we do the things He's calling us forth to do. Father, I thank You tonight for all those that came out to sit at Your table. I thank You, Father God, for their love for You. And they're hungry and they're thirsty. And I'm asking, Father, that You feed them fresh manna from heaven tonight. And, Father, don't let them leave here the same as they came. But if they even just have questions, Father God, that's better than when they came. And, Father, I just thank You for the Godhead. I thank You, Father God, that You have a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And You're at the point where You want to bring it to pass. And Father, I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is titled Your Book of Destiny and what is in it. For anyone who has followed the teaching on the courts of heaven, you will recognize the importance of the books of destiny in the courts. You know, Brother Brett has been writing books about it, and we've been following that. There are actually books or scrolls in heaven that declare our purpose for existence on the earth. And Psalms 139:16 reveals David's understanding of this. He says, David said, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in Your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." So Psalm 139:16 reveals David's understanding of this. David said, "Your eyes saw my substance before yet it unformed." In other words, David wasn't even born yet. "And in Your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." In other words, there's a book all about David in heaven before David was even formed in his mother's womb. David is declaring that there is a book in heaven that speaks not only of his makeup, but also of his destiny and purpose in life. This is quite an interesting scripture. Before a book existed, God saw our substance. Our books had their beginning through God seeing something before it existed that was yet unformed. Now, for those of you who come here all the time, we taught on this, that God knew us before we were formed in a mother's womb. And it's all backed up by Scripture. Now, our destiny and purpose began through the prophetic nature of God as a seer. God saw us functioning in the earth realm before it was naturally there. God already saw us functioning before in an earth realm before it was there. He then wrote in a book two things connected to our function. He first wrote, "My substance." Many say this has to do with our DNA, what makes us unique and who we are as individuals. It has to do with our desires and what we gravitate to. Now listen to this. This has to do with our desires and what we gravitate to. It has to do with our gifts and abilities. And remember, God talked to us about our gifts the other night. Remember that? It has to do with what we are good at and what we are not good at. All these things coincide with the destiny and purpose we were made for. All right, some people have a desire to go out on the streets and do street ministries. Others do not. Some have desire to go into the convalescent homes. Some do not. So what is your desire? Your desire is your substance. One of the best ways to discern what is in your book is to look at your desires. Also, you should look at the gifts and abilities that you have. They will be clues to what you were made for. These things are different for each individual. God saw these gifts and put them down in a book that then predestined us. All right? Some people get all crazy about predestination. It simply means God has a thought-out plan for our lives. We do not have to agree with that plan, yet we are the most satisfied when our might and efforts line up with his plan for us. And Ephesians 1:11 tells us we have an inheritance connected to our predestined state. Ephesians 1:11 tells us, in him also we have obtained an inheritance being predestined, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. What is written in our books is according to God's purpose for our lives. If you really listen to your prophetic words that you receive, God is telling you exactly what he wants you to do. He's really telling you what your destiny is going to be, where you're headed for. This means that God cannot get his purpose done on earth without his people reaching their destinies. This is the reason why the devil fights against us, so he might apprehend our destinies. And we also see Ephesians 2:10 telling us about God's thought-out plan. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is why God tells us that he will give us our mantle, that he will give our mantle to another. He needs to get his work done one way or the other. If you don't want to fulfill your destiny, then God's going to take that mantle that he had for you, and he's going to give it to someone else. We are his workmanship. Notice there are things we are to walk in that were prepared beforehand. This refers to our books or scrolls of destiny in heaven. When we are called his workmanship, this is a Greek term, P-O-I-E-M-A, and it means something that is made. It also can refer to a work of art. The Greek word itself is a word from which we get poem, P-O-E-M, in our English language. God works in us to fashion our desires to reflect what is written in our books or our scrolls. Now, a poem has to be read in rhythm to get the full effect. When we step into our destiny, we will discover a rhythm of the spirit we sink into. Now, you know, God told me one time, I was asking him what was going on in my life, and he said, you and I had a conversation about this before I sent you to earth, and you agreed that you would do this thing. So, see, God had already spoken to me before I was placed in my mother's womb and told me the things he wanted me to accomplish. Jesus had a conversation with his father before he came in, was placed in Mary's womb, about what his destiny was all about. All right? Matthew 11:28-30, the message, makes some significant statements about discovering the rhythm. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms, of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, discovering the unforced rhythms of grace awakens us to being his workmanship. Guys, you guys are not spending enough time with God to understand who God truly is and what he's all about and what your life is all about. You need to understand each and every day exactly where God is taking you to and what he's doing with your life and the lives that you are affecting along the way. Now, God chose you before the foundations of the earth to come down here and do a specific work for him. He already has it all laid out in heaven in his books. Whenever you deviate from that, then you deviate from what God has predestined for you. Now just keep that in mind. We begin to realize how we were made and what we were made for. The strife and frustration of life can cease. we begin to get into the rhythm of our destiny. In other words, if God says you were predestined to suffer, and you understand you were predestined to suffer, then as you're suffering, it won't bother you, because you know that's part of your destiny. All right? And see, a lot of people don't understand what their destiny is, and therefore, when they're going through the trials of life, they get upset, and they get discouraged, and they drop out of church, and they do not understand what God is trying to do through them. A couple of years ago, I heard a prophecy that God wanted to take us out of the grind of life and put us into the groove. From this, we can understand that so many live in a striving posture. They are just grinding it out. But God wants us to live in His groove or His niche. All right? He desires us to be in a place where life is easy and our burden is light. Isn't that what He tells us all the time? Tonight, we need to understand the longing of the Lord to bring us into this place we were made for and He saw for us before time began. The days fashioned for us in Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." The second thing written in our books of destiny is a span of our lives and what we are to accomplish. We are told the days were fashioned for us before there was any of them. Then notice it doesn't say weeks, month, or years. It says days, or the details and specifics of our lives. All right? God knows each and every day what He wants you to do. But some of us don't seek God's face, and we end up doing what we want to do. And then we mess up our lives for that day. God is not just in charge of the big picture, but is also helping us in our daily lives to fulfill what is written in our books. Every day we should surrender our lives to His purposes. And how many times have we been told that? Every day we should give our heart to God and our lives to God and ask Him, "What is it that you want to do with me and through me this day?" There may be a day that shifts us into a part of our destinies that, if missed, can be disastrous. There may be a day that shifts us into a part of our destinies that, if missed, can be disastrous. I believe this is why the psalmist in Psalm 118:22 spoke of the day the Lord had made. And it says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The day when Jesus, the rejected one, was declared and set as a chief cornerstone was the day the Lord had made. In other words, it was an appointed time for this to happen. And that day changed the future of the earth and all its inhabitants. When I was born again, when I was 50, I said to God, I said, "Look at all the years I wasted." He said, "No, you didn't waste any years. All those years that you were living and walking the earth, you were being trained to do the things that I want you to do. And this is your appointed time to be set in place to do what I want to do and to use you for my kingdom." So don't think you've wasted any time, because God has an appointed time to set you forth. And it's at that given time that then God can accomplish through you and in you what He wanted to accomplish, what is written in your books. God also has days He has made for you. These days are strategic times when you shift into all that was written in your book. These days cannot be missed. They are the Kairos moments of God. And Luke 19:43 shows Jesus telling the nation of Israel what was going to happen because they missed this Kairos time. He says, "For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, enclose you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Now, some of you sitting here tonight, you've already missed your days of visitation, and you're in a mess. But that doesn't mean you stay in the mess. It doesn't mean that you can't repent and then receive. You've already missed what God wants to do for you right now. But there is other days in your books that God still wants you to accomplish certain things. So don't give up just because you missed your Kairos moment. And I talked about that this morning about the building. I missed that, and that's why I'm still sitting in this building. Some of you in here, you don't quite believe this, but that's okay. It's in the Word, and it's true, and it's yes and amen. And, you know, one day you wake up to the truth, and you understand that there is a book of life for you, and your destiny every day is written in that book, and there is a destiny for you to reach. Now, whether or not you reach it is a different story. All right, in this time you experience breakthrough or the future, you know, in your Kairos moment, you experience breakthrough or the future you were meant for. All right? The nation of Israel, by not recognizing Jesus as Messiah, missed their time of visitation. The result was a future God never intended for them. Because the nation of Israel did not believe the revelation of who Jesus is, they lost what God intended for them. Jesus wept over them because of this. We too can miss that for which we were made and what is written in our books if we don't embrace the day that was fashioned for us before time began. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so we never fall into this trap. Now, by this, I know what God means when he tells someone, I never meant for this to happen to you. How many of you God has said that to? I never meant for this to happen to you. It was at that time you missed God's Kairos moment. Some of you are in here, you already know you missed quite a few moments with God. Don't miss any more. This is very important that you understand this because your destinies are being worked out right now. And each and every day you're walking out your destinies. And God hasn't brought this out before because it wasn't the right time. But he's been bringing this out for a couple of years now about our destinies. And because now is when you need to understand that there's a plan and purpose for your life. Always has been before you were born. God knew you. And now you're supposed to be working out your destiny. But are you walking it out? Are you doing the things that God has called you forth to do? You really need to sit and ponder this. Think about what God's trying to do with your life. Also, the days being fashioned for us speak of the length of our time on the earth. God knows exactly the day you're going to die. Everybody was going on about the rapture, and God said, you tell my people their rapture is a day that they die. So whatever day that God has predestined for you to die, that's the day you're going to die. Doesn't matter what else goes on. It also speaks of the purpose and destiny connected to those days. God has ordained the length of our lives so we can fulfill all that is written in our books. It is our job to discover what is in our books and to fulfill it. All right, I'm going to stop there and give a testimony. You know, well, God called me and delivered me and healed me totally and completely. And then about a year ago, God said, daughter, all my ministers I called, like Kenneth Hagin, when he was called, he had a very bad heart condition. He was ready to die, and God called him, and God healed him. How did he die? Sitting at his breakfast table, he had a massive heart attack. A.A. Allen was an alcoholic when God called him, and God cleaned him up, and I forgot how many years he ministered, but when he died, he was an alcoholic. He died an alcoholic. See what I'm saying? Whatever you had when God called you is what's going to come upon you again when he's ready to take you. I'm not ready to go home. So God has told me you won't die, you'll go into rapture. I have a long life ahead of me. All right? Come on. How about the king? The prophet went in and told him, you know, God said to get yourself house in order because he's going to take you. Well, the king didn't want to die then, did he? He turned his face to the wall, cried out to God, and before the prophet even got into the courtyard, God told him to go around town. I'm giving him 15 more years to live. And so God added 15 more years to his life. Even though that was the day that he was supposed to die, he didn't want to go at that point. Well, my father, my real father, you know, he had lung problems from working in the mines. And he was laying in his bed one night. And he looked up, and here was an angel. He said, the angel went like this. He tapped on the window and went like this. And my daddy looked at him and said, no, I'm not ready to go with you. I still want to live a little bit longer. So he said, you just go on, go back and tell God I'm not ready to come. And so he left. And my daddy lived 10 years longer than that. See, he could the angel had death angel had come for him that night. Do you understand all this? You just don't know the deepness of who you serve. You really don't. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, you know, that's all right. So I had to throw that in there. I'm not judging you. All right. I believe we will be judged when we stand before the Lord by how much of our books we fulfilled. I think I'm going into an overflow of mine right now, right? If God give me more years, we're going into an overflow, right? All right. The Bible teaches that we will each stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our lives. And that's part of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. This judgment will be based not on whether we did good things, but on whether we did the God thing for our lives. All right. Did we fulfill what was assigned to us in our books? 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, speaks of the day of judgment. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, we must make sure that our works are gold, silver, and precious stone, so they are preserved in the fire of his judgment. Wood, hay, and straw are not necessarily evil works. They can be good things, but were not what is written in our books. All right? Extra assignments that you took on that God never meant for you to take on. The Lord will reward only what was written in our books. We need to discover all that is in our books and begin to live it out with a passion. Each of us should desire that our life count for the kingdom of God. Each of us should desire that our life counts for the kingdom of God and to be a part of seeing his purpose fulfilled on the earth. Now, from the time I was born, my mother always said I was different, but I always had this thing about love. I just thought everybody should love, you know, and I just lived the love life. And then when God called me into the ministry, you know, after I became born again, he had me preaching about love. So I was predestined to preach about love and to live a love life. All right? And so as I look back over my life, which I have many times, I can see where my desires were. So that was God's desires. And his desire is that we are love vessels. And do you know how many people have tried to tear that love away from me, mock it and scorn it? But that's what God's called me to do. And so that's what I have to do because it's written in my books. Somebody has to be a vessel of love that will go forth and suffer like Jesus. You know, Jesus was a vessel of love, was he not? And he suffered because he took the love message to the people. What your book of destiny has to do with the courts of heaven in Daniel 7:10 shows us that a connection between the books of destiny in heaven and the courts of heaven. In Daniel 7:10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. They're talking about God here. The court was seated and the books were opened. Notice that the court was seated and the books were opened. The reason for this is twofold. First, the cases that are going to be presented are going to come from the books. Second, it will take the courtroom's operation to get what is in the books released fully on the earth. Why do you suppose God had us teach about the courts of heaven? Because now is the season when we need to start learning that things are happening in the courts of heaven, and we need to start taking our problems to the courts of heaven instead of just kneeling and praying at random. We need to say, all right, God, I need a court session. That's what I do anyhow. And I said, this has to come to the court because you are the great judge and I want you to judge this thing. All right? All right, I said, secondly, it will take the courtroom operation to get what is in the books released fully on the earth. This is because Satan uses legal things to stop us from getting all that is meant for us. Is that right, Brother Brent? I've been reading what you said, all right. We must know how to present our case in the courts from the books of destiny in heaven. We must learn how to fight for what we were made for in the courts. This occurred with Peter in the scriptures. All right, let's stop there. We said this is because Satan uses legal things to stop us from getting us all that is meant for us. We must know how to present our case in the courts from the books of destiny in heaven. You have to know what God spoke to you in your prophecies, what it is that he's going to use you to do. You're supposed to be in a legal system. You need to take it to court and make sure the devil's there too and have God judge them, because the devil's trying to stop you from being in the legal system, right? You're in politics. All right. This occurred with Peter in the scriptures. In Luke 22, verse 31, we see the devil's strategies to stop Peter's influence. And the Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." The word ask is a Greek word. I'm going to pronounce it so they hear it. I mean, I'm going to spell it. E-X-A-I-T-E-O-M-A, and it means to demand for trial. So when God said Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat, and one time after I was born again, something was going on in my life, and I went to God and said, "God, what is going on?" And I didn't know the scriptures in the word, and he told me to go to the scripture, and he said, "Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, and I have to let him sift you." But look what he says to Peter. He said, "But I have prayed for you," Satan wants to sift him as wheat, "but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Now look what else he says, "and when you have returned to me." Peter's faith was going to fail. Isn't that what happened when Jesus died, when the rooster crowed? Peter's faith failed. So even though Satan was given the permission to sift Peter, and God knew he was going to fail in the sifting, he said, "When you return to me," in his book of destiny, he returned to God. He said, "Strengthen your brethren." You see this? So at this point, I don't care how much faith I thought I had, and I don't care how powerfully God was working through me, my faith was going to fail. See, and God told me all about it. He said, "That's you in that scripture." Now, Satan had an understanding of the purpose of God written in Peter's book. He knew if this wasn't disrupted, Peter would impact the world with the powers of the kingdom of God. His strategy to hinder this was to take Peter to trial. Do you know how many times Satan has asked for you and taken you to trial and you don't even know about it? What did he do with Job? Satan went before God and he said, "How about Job?" He took Job to trial. And remember, I went through a Job experience, and when I go through with mine, God's now the whole body of Christ is going through a Job experience. If you read about the Job experience and you look at your own life, you'll be able to say, "I was in a Job experience and didn't even know it." This is why you have to have a close walk with God, so you know exactly what's going to happen to you, exactly, and God told me you're going through a Job experience. Hang on, because you're going to turn out just like Job did. And what happened with Job? He lost everything, but yet in the end, he had more than he started with. If you only knew your father as an intimate father and went to him with everything and trusted him with everything, nothing would ever surprise you. Well, I shouldn't put it that way, because even though God tells me what I'm going to go through, it surprises me how bad it is when I go through it. Amen? And God told me early on, he said, "The devil's coming after you himself. And he's going to do everything he can. He's going to turn you every which way but loose. And he's going to try to destroy you. But I told him he can't kill you." And isn't that what he told about Job? He said, "But when it's all said and done, daughter, it's going to be a bad battle. When it's all said and done, you'll be standing on your feet, facing me and praising me." I went through that hell. But I remembered the whole way through it, I'm going to be standing on my feet. And I'm going to be looking at Jesus and praising him. And that's what brought me through. Because he told me what was going to happen, and it happened just like he said, and I won the victory because of the words that are written in my book. Jesus knew that I was going to keep my faith and keep on going. Are you understanding this? I've had Satan himself come to me 3 different times, tell me how he's going to kill me. The first time he did, I laughed in his face. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. I laughed in his face. I said, you can't do nothing to me. He said, well, I'm going to show you. And then as he was doing the things to me, I said, but you can't kill me. Can't kill me. God said, you can't kill me. And he couldn't kill me. And he had to give up. Do you understand this? Come on. Satan knew what you was going to do. He knows what's written in your book, but he's going to try to stop you at every turn. I remember a lot of people God prophesied over and said, Satan has to get you before you get him. In other words, Satan has to tear you down before you tear down his kingdom. So how is he going to do it? He's going to fight you. He's going to fight you with everything he has, with your friends, your family, you know, even your own mind. He's going to fight you. You have to stay the course. God wouldn't have told you you were going to minister to motorcycle people if it wasn't written in your book. And if Satan comes to you and says, you're not going to do that, just say, thank you for telling me I am. And now I know I'm going to do it. All right? If you can't believe God, know that the devil's a liar. All right, Satan demanded a date in the courts to accuse Peter and bring the case he had against Peter. He was seeking a legal right to devour Peter and what was written in his book. We know that Jesus stood on behalf of Peter and secured the destiny heaven had prescribed for Peter. God has done that for me. God's doing that for you. He has already secured your future, your destiny. Now it's up to you to trust and believe God and to walk it out. Peter said, I'll never deny you. Didn't he do that? I never say never. I'll never deny you. And Peter denied him, not only once, but 3 times. Jesus, oh, yes, you will, Peter. You'll deny me 3 times. And some of you sitting in here, you have bad thoughts, bad vibes. Well, you just wait and see what Satan's going to take those thoughts, and he's going to use them against you. All right? We have the same responsibility to do the same for others and ourselves. We should realize Jesus did this as a man and not as God. Now, when I wrote that down there to say this. When we have a brother or sister that's in trouble and Satan's really attacking them, it is our responsibility to take them to the courts of heaven and have God make Satan let go. That's your right and that's your privilege. Are you listening? Some of you have children that the devil's really trying to take their lives. That's your child. Well, let me put it this way. It's not your child. It's God's child that he gave to you to raise in his ways. And he's going to hold you accountable for how you raised that child. And boy, I quickly go to the courtroom and say, Father, this is your child and not mine. Now, you make Satan take his hands off of them. All right? Come on. All right, I said, we have the same responsibility to do the same for others and ourselves. We should realize Jesus did the same as man and not as God. When Jesus walked the earth, he never did anything as God, but only as a man filled with God. Philippians 2:5 tells us that Jesus did not touch his divine abilities while living on the earth. Even though he was God, he lived totally as a man. Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Jesus had to live fully as a man to redeem us. A man, Adam, in the garden had lost creation, and a man, Jesus, had to win it back. We aren't saying we are God, but we have God in us. And Jesus said we can do the same things that he did and greater things if we believe in Jesus. And Jesus only did and said what his Father told him to do and to say. And so if you have that stance where the only thing you do is you only say what God's telling you to say and you only do what God's telling you to do, then you have the right and the authority to go to the courtrooms of heaven and not only release your destiny, but release others' destinies that Satan's trying to steal. All right. Jesus had to live fully as a man to read. Oh, I read that. Jesus lived totally as a man filled with God through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't do this. You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. It's time we come to grips with that. We're trying to be religious when that's not going to work. We have to be filled with the Spirit, and we have to work in the Spirit. God told us years ago, now was the time when Spirit was calling unto Spirit. Deep is calling unto deep. And the only way that can happen is if you're walking in the Spirit, totally surrendering to God, and doing everything that God's telling you to do. Jesus had to live fully as a man to redeem us. I said that. As human beings, we also have access to the courts to perceive what is in our books of destiny and to secure that destiny as well. Now, if you don't know what is written in your book, then you need to go either read your prophetic words or go to the Father and say, I need to know where you're taking me to, exactly what you want me to do. Now, some of us have veered off of the course, and we've missed a lot of what God had intended for us to do. Mostly because of ignorance, because if you're like me, you always went to church, but that's what you did, you went to church, and they weren't Spirit-filled churches and never taught you about Jesus, but then that wasn't their job to do, that was your job to do. You should have read your word and taught yourself about Jesus, right? But a lot of us didn't even know to do that. I just thank God at a very young age, I was in a Pentecostal church, and God just hit me sitting in my seat, and I was radically saved. Didn't know what happened to me, but I was radically saved. I didn't know until I was 50 years old what happened. So I don't know if you was radically saved, you know, where you cried for days upon end and couldn't control yourself and just didn't know what to do with yourself, and then you were radically saved. But other than that, I don't know if you're radically saved or just saved. There's a difference. You can just say, you know, God, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior, and just be saved. And then what you have to do from that point on is you have to work at learning who Jesus really is and what your purpose in life is. God is bringing forth a new set of people in this dispensation of time. And he's raising up people who really, some have been in church and just were in church. He's raising up some who never were in church and never heard of Jesus. And he's doing this because the church has rejected God in his word. They've rejected the Holy Spirit, and that's really upset God. And so now, you know, I don't care where you're at in your walk with God, there's always a deeper place you can go. There's always a deep calling upon your life. And every day God takes me deeper into his things. Every day he speaks new things into my life. Every day he gives me new revelation of what he's doing in my life. Because every day our life is different, is it not? And you say, God, what is going on in my life? I don't know about you, but I do that to God. God, what is going on? And so he reveals to me what is going on and why it's going on and where it's taken me to. And see, a lot of people just sit in the house of God, never ask God anything. And God does speak to you, by the way. And he does wait for your voice. He loves to hear your voice. So what are you doing with your life? Are you working out your destiny that's written in your books, or are you just existing? And I'm hearing God say right now, deep is calling to deep again tonight. And he wants to take you deeper than he's ever taken you before. And he's wanting to know how many of you want to go into that river that no one can swim in, that we read about this morning. That's where God's trying to take you to. And in that river, that's where you receive the fullness of who God truly is, and you receive the fullness of the anointing that God wants to place upon your life. And he needs you. He needs you, people. I don't care what your background is, and he needs you, or you wouldn't be sitting in here tonight. You are those new people that he's pulled forth. Now, you can reject him. You don't have to enter into him. You don't have to. But he gives everybody a chance to receive all that he has for their lives. You can say, well, God, I'm content where I'm at, and that's fine. God will let you be content. But I don't know about you. I'm not content in just the meager little things of God. I want the greater things that God has for each and every one of us. Even if it's just saving one more soul. One more soul is about the best thing you could ever do. I want that. I want all that God has for me. I want everything that's written in my book. I don't want to stand before God and he say, well, let's go to page 1. Oh, now let's skip over to page 10. Oop, let's, you, what happened to all these other pages in between? Why didn't you walk out your destiny? Why didn't you fulfill what I've called you forth to do? I remember reading a story about this man who was 90-some years old, and he was dying, and he was so happy in his walk with God. And they asked him why he was so happy. He said, because God told me early on that there was one soul I had to save before he brought me home. And he said, I saved that one soul, and now I'm ready to go home. He was happy. He fulfilled his destiny. He just lived all of his life, just living the normal life. But he felt he was one soul assigned to him. Now, I remember one time, for all you who come here all the time, God said each one of us are assigned a million souls. How many of them million have you saved yet? Have you even started on it? Are you fulfilling your destiny as written in your book, or are you not? It doesn't matter what age you are or when you really start in life, really fulfilling your destiny. So you were ignorant of all this before, but now you know, and now you're supposed to start fulfilling your destiny that's in your book. God's asking you, what do you want to walk in tonight? The normal or the abnormal? He didn't call you to be a normal person. He called you to be a peculiar person. So, and he said he wants you to have a deep-seated root of the truth of his word in you so you can take it to a lost and dying world. So what do you want tonight? I want you to sit and think about, what do you want tonight? Do you really want to fulfill your destiny that's written in your book? Is there anything you can add to the court about your destiny, Brett, that you think is important? All right. I'm glad you said that. But anyhow, this is very, very serious tonight. And God's calling you to fulfill all that he has destined you to fulfill. You know, sometimes we think, well, somebody had a need, and we just said, I'll do it. And you raised your hand, and you think you just did it all because you wanted to. No, God raised your hand, and God spoke to you and said, I'll do it, because that was the beginning of the rest of your life. And from that one day of saying, I'll do it, then you started fulfilling the rest of your life. Amen. Tonight, God's telling me he's hanging a banner over you, and that banner is love. And he would love for you to walk with that banner and to fulfill the rest of the destinies in your book. And if you want to do that, God's going to place anointing upon you.